Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today we'll be speaking with Sansara Taylor and Reverend Jerome McCory, and I am going to be joining them in New York City next week for an action called Shut Down Rikers. So stay tuned, and Sansara and Reverend McCory will talk about themselves and about the action and why it's imperative that we shut down the Abu Ghraib of America, Rikers Island. Sansara Taylor and Reverend Jerome McCory, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you for having us, Cindy.
Well,
I'm so happy to be here with both of you.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Sansara Taylor to tell my listeners a little bit about yourself, and then tell about the action we'll be engaging in next week around Rikers Island in New York City, and about the larger protest Rise Up October.
Okay. Well, as you know, Cindy, and as some of your listeners might know, I am a writer for Revolution Newspaper. I'm a supporter of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and I think I met you a million years ago when we were both working together with the movement to stop the war in Iraq when it was just early on. I was very inspired by what you did, and I've been a part of fighting against all forms of oppression and exploitation, the oppression of women, the oppression and slow genocide against black and brown people, of mass incarceration and police terror, the roundup of immigrants, the destruction of the environment, and yes, the imperialist wars, and fighting for a revolution to get rid of this system and bring into being a whole different liberated world. So that's where I'm coming from, and the revolution that Baba Bakian has been re-envisioning, communist revolution. And so it's taken me in a lot of different directions and a lot of different things. Right now, it brought me together with Reverend Jerome McCory, with the efforts that were initiated by Carl Dixon Cornell West of Rise of October. And Rise of October is three powerful days of political action, mass resistance, to stop police terror, to stop police murder, to stop the mass incarceration of black and brown people, and to say to all of society, which side are you on? Over the last year, there's been tremendous outpourings, uprisings in Ferguson and Baltimore and nationwide against police killings, but the police have not stopped, and the police are never convicted. They're almost never even indicted. And this is something that if you're neutral, you're not really neutral. If you're sitting on the sidelines, you're part of letting this happen.
Right.
And so Rise of October is calling on people. We have to take the resistance higher or else we're complicit. So to spell it out and then hone in on Rikers, October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th are 3 days of action. The 22nd is National Protest Against Police Brutality, and in New York City, a public reading of the names of some of the thousands and thousands who have been murdered by police, shining a light on this epidemic and bringing the families of police murder victims to New York City in the heart of Times Square and having their courageous voices and their grief be heard by the world. That's kicking this off. Then October 23rd, it's a Friday, we're going to be doing nonviolent direct action and protest out at Rikers Island. And for people who may not know, Rikers Island is one of the largest prison jail complexes on the planet. It is a place that houses regularly 14,000 people per night,
wow.
95% of them black or Latino. 85% of them have never been convicted of a crime. Most of them are held there because they can't make bail. And they're held for years. Many, many people are held for years simply because they can't make bail. And 15 people have been killed due to medical neglect there within a five-year period. Just incredible rates of brutality, a whole culture of violence from the guards inflicted on inmates, sexual violence inflicted on the women as well as the men in prison there. It's really the local Abu Ghraib. It's a concentration of the whole network of mass incarceration, and it's right next door to 8 million people who go about their lives as if this is normal. It's our local Dachau, you know. So I think this is a thing where we've said, look, there's been exposures, there's been studies, there's been settlements paid out from the violence and abuse of the guards over and over and over again for decades. It's been exposed, and the time for us to wring our hands and simply condemn it are over. We have to go and we have to put our bodies on the line and say, if you are shackling, if you are starving, if you are torturing our sisters and our brothers behind bars, then it is our responsibility to stand up and put our bodies on the line and say, this must stop. And so it's a key component of Rise Up October. And then the last day of Rise Up October is the 24th, the Saturday, and there's going to be a massive march, people from around the country flooding into the streets to say police terror must stop. And so there's different ways in, and all three of these days will amplify and strengthen each of the rest. But this day of nonviolent direct action with the demand that Rikers be closed down is a very critical dimension, and I'm very honored to be a part of that together with Reverend McCorry and yourself, Cindy, and a number of other reverends and people of conscience.
Sansara, excuse me, what are the particulars of what are the, you know, the the nuts and bolts of the action if people would like to join us?
Yeah, so we're going to be going out. Rikers Island, it's both right in the middle of a major urban metropole, and it's also at the same time extremely isolated. And so you have to take a bus out to Queens, you have to take a train out to Queens, and you have to take a bus, and you have to get on the Rikers bus to get all the way to go and visit a loved one in Rikers. So what we're going to do is we are going to take the public transportation, we're going to rally people out at the Queens entrance to Rikers Island. We're going to hold a protest there, and it'll be Friday morning, the 23rd, I believe it'll be 11. We're nailing down the exact details, and we'll be announcing it at riseupoctober.org, all the details. And we're going to have people who gather, who rally. We're going to have the Raging Grannies singing. We're going to have people doing prayers, and then we're going to have people who want to put themselves on the line to make a strong statement that Rikers Island must be shut down are going to find a way to express that sentiment.
Can I say this? Is this an action where it may be possible that the people who participate in the direct action, even though we're out there exercising our supposed constitutional rights to freedom of expression, freedom of speech, is it possible that it could be risking arrest?
Well, I think it's definitely the case that when people stand up against injustice, and especially against the jaws of mass incarceration and torture and brutality, that that the authorities in the state don't like that.
Right.
And I think I will speak for myself, and I think I speak for others who have signed this call for nonviolent direct action, that we will not allow the state to deprive us of our right to make that statement very strongly and with determination. And if they, you know, if they had the illegitimate intention of arresting or stopping people, we don't intend to let them stop us. So I'll put it that way.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sansara. So Reverend McCorry.
You're welcome.
Reverend McCorry, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and why you're participating in this call and in the direct action, direct nonviolent action, I should say.
Well, first of all, I'm a longtime civil rights organizer. I've been involved for a number of years with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. I've also been involved nationally with a number of other organizations. And as you can imagine, we included here as to attach ourselves to a number of issues and other things that are going across this nation. For about 2 years, I served as the faith coordinator for the Stop Mass Incarceration Network, co-founded by Cornel West and Carl Dix. And when the whole concept and the idea for Rise Up October came about, I immediately came on board in that capacity and began to galvanize, first of all, the faith community around these issues. It is my earnest belief that we have a moral imperative to make a difference in the lives of others. Being at the front line, on the front line of situations such as the kinds of police terror that we have seen lately in our communities, having served as spokesman for families, for instance, like Tamir Rice, John Crawford III, and others across the nation, put us right on the front line of this issue. But for us, the bottom line is all of those elements that make up mass incarceration. And let me say right away, though we use the terminology mass incarceration, the truth of the matter is there is no mass incarceration. What we have is selective incarceration. Mm-hmm. Mass incarceration means all of your citizens in a particular are being targeted.
Right.
Selective incarceration means that there's some specifications, such as people of color who are being targeted, such as poor folk who are being targeted. So we have selective incarceration, but we use the term mass incarceration. And when you look at Rikers particularly, and I'm so glad that Sincera was great about bringing that out, perhaps the worst institution in the United States is, in fact, Rikers Island. Where better to take some direct action than Rikers Island? But I think in coming to New York, period, for me goes a little further, because folks have asked me, why New York, say, versus D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I tell them, we've been to D.C. so many times,
right,
and that hasn't worked out well for us lately. But the other thing, not only is New York a capital city of the entire world, but New York is really home to the United Nations, and the United States has been great historically at leveling charges against other nations for the treatment of its own citizens and primarily charging them with acts of inhumane treatment of their own citizens. And we think those other nations have an opportunity to flip the script and now look at the United States, and perhaps it's time to indict this nation for the inhumane treatment of its citizens of color. So we think it's significantly important that we come to New York and that we come ready to make a statement. And so we're looking at taking this direct action where Rikers is concerned, but coming to New York in general, because we think it is a capital city of the entire world, and it's an idea whose time has come. So this was easy for me to buy into.
Well, thank you so much. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to coming out there, flying across the country, being with you all, in these important actions. I hope that many people join us, and I hope that we, seems like this movement has, you know, it hasn't stopped police killings, it hasn't stopped mass incarceration, but it's brought really to the forefront these issues, and people are starting to talk about the disproportionate, you know, killing of people of color by police. And it also has achieved some victory in some indictments and things like that. So I think it's very important. It's a very important issue to be involved in. But Sincera, is there anything that you'd like to add, anything that you'd like my listeners to know before we end this interview?
Yeah, I guess I'd like to just add one thought to what you were just mentioning, which is,
uh-huh,
it's true. This movement has not stopped the police from killing. They are still killing. They're still killing every single day. And I agree absolutely with what Reverend McCrory just said. It's selective killing. It's
right.
Terror. and murder and brutality and tasing and stomping. Black and brown people, women as well as men, but especially men, it's just rampant.
Right.
And actually, the fact that our movement has not stopped it is why we need to stand up even more.
Yes.
A lot of times people look at things, and I think it's really important to understand, this country was founded on slavery. This country went through 100 years of Jim Crow, lynch mob terror. This country has deep-seated white supremacy, and now it's in the new Jim Crow. Mass incarceration of black and brown people, police terror, all of this. And the idea that it's going to be ended because people say, oh, we don't like it. A lot of people haven't liked it for a long time.
Right.
It's going to take a fight. And that's not a reason why a movement didn't stop it in a year. It's not a reason to say, oh, it didn't work. It's a reason to step it up. And that's exactly what Rise Up October is. And it's exactly why it's an idea whose time has come. And it's actually even more important now because people are paying attention, because people's hopes have been raised, because society has been shaken, because people around the world are looking now to what's going to happen. This is the moment we either step it up or we squander a moment. There has not been struggle against this form of terror and racist oppression on the level that we've seen in the last year. This hasn't happened in decades. And it's a precious moment. It's a moment that is fraught with dangers. There's a counterattack. There's repression. There's all kinds of things going on to change the subject and let the killing intensify. But it's a moment where if we have courage and we have determination and we tell the truth and we step up and put ourselves on the line, and call on everybody. I mean it when I say there is no neutral. It's not enough to hate the videos that come out every single day. It's not enough. You have to act to stop them. But if we act to stop them, and there is a critical mass coming together in Rise Up October, and everybody listening has a choice you now have to make, to get on the bus, get on the plane, come to New York, donate funds at riseupoctober.org to sponsor the families who are traveling here of police murder victims, to sponsor the buses, to sponsor the stage, to get the materials out. Your financial support and your material participation, these things matter. History turns on them, and nothing has ever changed without a huge struggle. And that's what we're prepared to lead right now, and everybody has a role to play. So I invite you, and I urge you, there's a million things we could say more than we've had a chance to cover, but but join with us and be part of this, and we'll continue the dialogue as we stand up together. Go to riseupoctober.org, go to redcom.us, and you can see what the Revolutionary Communist Party is saying about all of this, and join with us. We have a tremendous moral obligation, and we have an opportunity right now, so join with us.
I just have one point to make, and maybe Reverend McCorry can comment on this. If it is a disproportionate amount of black and brown people being murdered by the cops, by killer cops, and if it's not a proportionate amount of, if they're not being murdered, they're actually being preyed upon in a disproportionate amount by recruiters and being lured into the military-industrial complex. So it seems like people of color are targeted for this imperial violence, whether it's on the streets of the United States or the streets of some faraway country that the empire is bombing or asking our young people to kill, other people, mostly of color in other countries. So, Reverend McCorry, that's a little bit off the subject, but I don't think, as somebody who has been connected to this since my son was killed in Iraq 11 years ago, do you have a comment about that?
Yeah, absolutely I do. And that's plain and simply put. One of the things that gets used so often against people of color happens to be the economic status that exists in this country.
Yes.
When you're at the bottom of the totem pole, you are targeted for anything that is even remotely violent or really dysfunctional in its very nature. Because of the economic situation, we get pushed into a situation where we will almost do anything for a dollar, thus going to the military. We have parents, and it makes me cringe to hear a parent say to a young man today, you can go to the military and you'll learn discipline. goodness, if you have to go to the military to learn how to take care of yourself, it's really a problem somewhere.
Yes, yes.
But these are the kinds of messages that have caused especially black and brown communities to be targeted by the military-industrial complex and by others who would dare to promote violence, especially against other people. We also live in a nation that if you don't think the way that I think and you come from another country, we're taught then that automatically makes you the enemy. And that's another way that we get preyed upon, and we've got to absolutely educate people against that. It is so important that we show up then in these mass numbers, that we go to New York, but not just to have another march, and not just for another rally, but that there's education that goes on. And I think the second part of that is this. October the 22nd through the 24th must be more than another action. It must be the beginning of real systemic change in this nation. It is time to change this nation. I know we talk about the involvement of who some of those organizations are, but I say to people of faith, how dare we sit in temples and mosques and churches on Saturdays and Sundays and not come to the streets and engage in fixing clearly what's broken in our communities and what's going on around us? We, again, have it as a moral imperative. I say to my white brothers and sisters, it is because we are being targeted in the black and brown community doesn't mean that it's limited to us. Joseph Lowery got it exactly right. The old leader of the SCLC, what he said, what's in the best interest of any nation's targeted population among the poorest folk and people of color, it's in the best interest of all people. And so he explains it in this way. We have to work until white becomes right, till black won't have to get back, till brown can stick around, yellow becomes mellow, and until the red man can get ahead, man. It's in the best interest of all of us to work together. And this is why Rise Up is so important. This is why we must engage, and it must be a beginning and not an end. The other question I often get asked is, how in the world does a Christian community engage in this kind of work with the Revolutionary Communist Party or with this group over here or that group over there? And I tell people, here again, America teaches us to focus on the numerators because the numerators will keep us forever divided. But the common denominator is what's going on in this country. It's everybody's business, and we've got to find that common denominator, which is those killer cops are not asking us what we belong to before they shoot us down. And so we have to fight back. We have to do it together. Together is always better, and it takes teamwork to make the dream work. And I'm tired of sleeping through the dream. It's time that we start dealing with some realities. And I sincerely believe that you cannot fix a police department, for an example, or a militaristic system because you put more people of color in it. The only color police understand, for instance, is the color blue. Doesn't matter whether the officer's black, brown, yellow, white. It's a mindset. Modern-day policing, as well as our military, quite frankly, is the outgrowth of the old slave catchers. It is the outgrowth of the militia. It is the outgrowth of the National Guard that was always designed to target poor and minority folks. And so you cannot fix it because you fill it up with poor and minority folks. You have to destroy that system literally and come up with a whole new system. You can never build anything on a rotten and decaying foundation. You got to tear the foundation down.
I just thought of a smart aleck comment. Won't electing another Democrat fix it? Just kidding.
That's true. That's true. You really don't want me to hear on that.
I know. We've seen that movie. It is a little dizzying. We've seen that movie. Everybody gets delirious and they get amnesia. Because last night we had the debate. We're recording right the morning after the debate. And everybody's all excited. And I'm like, didn't you see this movie with Obama? Didn't you see this? And then he became the deporter-in-chief, the mass incarceration-in-chief, the droner-in-chief, all of this. It's time we get out of that. So I don't want to start us on another conversation.
I know, that would be another
really
hour.
that would
be at least another
I agree,
hour.
And I really appreciate what Reverend McCory was just speaking of, too. So
it was really wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for this conversation, and I'm looking forward to being there with you next week. Sansara Taylor and Reverend Jerome McCory, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. RiseUpOctober.org. Let's go there and let's go to New York City next week. Thank you all. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. We appreciate all you do.
Okay. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
That's Cindy Sheehan Soapbox today. I hope you go to riseupoctober.org for more information about the events in New York City next week and also about shutting down Rikers Island. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar. I'd like to thank Sansara Taylor and Reverend Jerome McCory for being on Cindy Sheehan Soapbox this week and for their continuing work for peace and justice and accountability. And I'd like to thank you for listening to and supporting Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.